Begin the current daf Masechet Shabbos, daf Kuf Nun Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Kuf Nun and Beis, two lines from the bottom, where the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that said, Klal Oma Abishol. This is a general rule regarding the opinion of the Tanakhama. Abishol comes to interpret and he says that there's a general rule, possibly arguing on the Tanakhama, that he says, Kol Shani V'chulu, that is, our Mishnah was speaking about one of the halachas of Mimtzei Chavtzcha, regarding doing one's own personal things on Shabbos, which is forbidden. Now, the Tanakhama spoke about different things about what you're allowed to be Machshech Alatchum, to wait for night by the boundary, which is you're not allowed to go past a certain amount of amas, 2,000 amas from the city or wherever your tchum is. You're not allowed to wait there if it's for something that's forbidden to do on Shabbos. However, for things that it's permitted to do on Shabbos, let's say just to watch your produce, however, now that it's out of the tchum, you could wait by the boundary for nightfall. So Abishol gave a general rule regarding all the different things that the Tanakhama had spoken about. He says, whatever I'm allowed to speak about on Shabbos, I'm allowed to be machshech al tchum. That's for the same type of thing, that since there's no element of miftzei chevtzcha in the forbidden b'da b'dava, but what you're allowed to speak about, if I'm allowed to speak about it, then I'm allowed to also wait by the boundary for nightfall to go ahead and do it. But if I cannot speak about it on Shabbos, then I'm not allowed to wait by the boundary either. So the Gemara inquires about this general statement of Abishol regarding the halachas that the Tanakhama had spoken about. Abishol Ahai, on which cases of the Tanakhama is Abishol coming on to say, you know what, about what you spoke, let me make a general rule regarding that. Now, Ilema, there's a Reisha and the Sefer, those are the things that the Tanakhama said are forbidden to be Machshal Tchum, and then those things that he said is permitted. Ilema, Reisha Koi, if he's saying he's going back under Reisha, that the Tanakhama had said, Ein machshich al tchum, you're not allowed to wait for nightfall by the boundary, liskor poyelim, lahevi peyers, to go ahead and hire workers, or to go bring your produce that are attached to the ground, that these are things that are forbidden to do on Shabbos, therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and then wait by the boundary, to wait for nightfall, to then to be able to go matzah Shabbos, to go ahead and do these things, and that is the Tanakhama was speaking about an element of Isser, and that these things are forbidden, and Abishol is coming to give a general category regarding all these things. So then the question is, then they should have made a generalization, his principle should have been phrased in the phraseology of Isra, of prohibition. And he should have said explicitly that Kol She'ein Oizaki Ba'amir. He shouldn't have said the way he said it, that whatever I'm permitted to say, I'm permitted to wait by the boundary for. He should have said in the negative. Whatever I'm not allowed to speak about, which in this case would be hiring workers and to go ahead and someone to take off the produce from where it's connected to the ground, then those things I'm not allowed to say to my friend, hire me workers or get me the produce on Shabbos, so then I cannot wait by the boundary. As the Gemara says, and we continue on to the top of Kof Nun Aleph, Amen Aleph, Hai Kol Shani Zakeh Bamirasi, this that he does say in our Mishnah, that whatever I'm allowed to speak about on Shabbos, Rishoyani B'Chashichasi, so that I'm allowed to wait for nightfall by the boundary, he shouldn't have said it, he should have said it in the inverse. Kol She'eini Zakeh Bamirasi, whatever I'm not allowed to speak about, which is the cases of the Reisha, that to hire workers or to go ahead and to have someone cut off the produce for him, Eini Rishoy B'Chashichasi Miboyle. It should have been said in the negative that I'm not allowed to go ahead and wait for nightfall because I can't talk about it. So therefore the Gemara says, Ela Sefer Koy. Rather, Abishol was going on the Sefer where the Tanakhama spoke about cases that are permitted to be done, which is, as the Gemara quotes, Tanakhama said, Avo machshechu lishma, but you could wait by the boundary for nightfall by things of just watching your produce. Or maybe Paris Beard, and then once you did it for a permitted thing of just to watch, then when you're coming back, you're allowed to bring it back, even though you waited for it for Matzah Shabbos and you're going to be disconnecting it. As long as your primary intention was for a permitted thing, then you could go ahead and wait by the boundary. Now Abishol is coming on that definition of the Tanakhama is going to give a klal, a general rule, to include all things just like that. And that the difficulty is, Hai Kol Shani Zakeh B'Chashichasei, how it should have been phrased, if this was the case of that Abishol is going on regarding what the Tanakhama said, he should have said, whatever I'm permitted to go ahead and wait by the boundary for, Rishoy Ani B'Amirasi Miboyle. And then there should have been that is the type of things that I'm allowed to speak about. In other words, the Tanakhama already spoke about things that are permitted to be machshech for, to wait for nightfall for them by the boundary. However, the Tanakhama did not mention about that you're allowed to speak about them. So how does Abishol go ahead and make dependent something that was already written specifically in the Mishnah? For something that wasn't written, it should be the exact opposite. Why is he giving a general rule and saying, oh, whatever I'm permitted to say, I'm allowed to be machshech? If you're going on the statement of the Tanakhama, he already spoke about the things that you're allowed to wait on the boundary for nightfall for. To the contrary, he didn't speak about that you're allowed to speak about them. So he shouldn't have said, whatever I'm allowed to talk about, I'm allowed to wait by the boundary for. Rather, the Tanakhama already spoke about waiting for the boundary. He should have said, whatever I'm allowed to wait for the boundary for, which is the case that I'm going on, what the Tanakhama was speaking about, which are for permitted things, let's say just to watch produce, then those things I'm allowed to speak about. Why does he say it in the reverse? What's he going on? It can't be on the ratio, because then he should have said it in the negative, not in the positive. And he can't be going on the safe on the permitted things, because instead of saying that what I'm allowed to talk about, I'm allowed to be machshich, it should have been the opposite. Should have been whatever I'm allowed to be machshich, which is what the Tanakhama was speaking about, then I can also even talk about. So the Gemara says, La'olam ha-seifa, in truth, Abishal is going on the seifa. Like we said, that it's going on the cases that are permitted to be machshifa. But then we had the difficulty, where do we get this element of speaking that it's permitted to say that, oh, whatever is permitted to be spoken about, you're allowed to be machshich and wait by the boundary for. The Tanakhama didn't mention anything about something that's permitted to be spoken about. However, the answer is va'abishol ha-hakoy. What Abishal was referencing to was regarding this halacha, da'am Rabbi Yehuda ha-mishmol. That Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul said, "Mutar la'adam lo mel chaver." A person is permitted to tell his friend, "Shomali perish betchumach. You watch for me. We live in different areas, and therefore I'm not in your halachic boundary of Shabbos, and you're not in mine. But I have some fields in where you live. So you watch for me my fruits that are in your boundary. And I'm going to watch for you the produce that's in my boundary." And so obviously, regarding that concept about watching another person's produce that's out of your tchum, obviously it's something that a person is permitted to speak about it. Because you could tell him to watch what's in his boundary, and he could tell you what's in your boundary. And Abishol and Tanakhama both take it as a given, this halacha of Shmuel, and this is what, this halacha, which is unstated, is what Abishol is referencing to, because that was a given to them, that this you're allowed to do, this statement of Yehuda of Shmuel, that you could tell him to watch what's in his boundaries, and what he could tell you to watch what's in your boundary. And based on this principle, this halacha of Yehuda Mashmul, that both the Tanakhama and Abishol agreed to, and that is what Vekama Abishol Tanakhama, and based on this unstated principle, this is what Abishol was telling Tanakhama. Miloy Maidis, don't you agree? The Mutar Adam Loim L'Chaver, that a person is permitted to tell, to speak about something to his friend regarding this halacha of being Shoyme Peris, which is what you are talking about in the Mishnah that's permitted to be Machshech, that Shomali Peris Shabbat, that watch me, my produce is in your boundaries, and I'm going to watch your produce that's in my boundaries. So what he's basically telling him, you're talking about the permission about things that you're allowed to be machshik, you're allowed to wait for the nightfall by the boundary, which is regarding Shama Peris, to watch produce, which is permitted to do on Shabbos. And you also agree to this unstated halacha of Yehuda, that you're also allowed to talk about it, as we said in the halacha of Shmuel. And therefore, what he was trying to tell him, to prove to him, was, therefore you see that since it's something that you're permitted to talk about, which again was the principle of Shmuel, that this is granted, it is a given that everyone agrees to, that's why you're saying in the Mishnah that you're permitted to be machshech al tchum, to wait for nightfall. And therefore his question was, why did you pick in the Mishnah, in the Sefer, necessarily a case of when you were permitted to go out and wait for nightfall, to be lishmer, to watch the produce? Why did you pick that? You should have said a general rule to include everything. As the Gemara says, this is what Abishol was telling Tanakhama. I understand you saying the Sefer that you're allowed to be machshech al tchum, to watch produce. Now, but obviously, on some level, the reason why you're saying that you're allowed to be machshech is because you're allowed to talk about it. As we know, that's the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, that he says this halacha and that everyone agrees to it. It's a given that you're allowed to talk about it for someone else to watch your produce. And therefore, ve'ema, you should say, kol shani zakeh b'mirase. Everything that I'm permitted to be speaking about, for example, like the din of Shmuel, that you're allowed to speak about someone else watching your produce, rishani l'hashech lav, I'm also permitted to go ahead and wait for nightfall for. And then you would have said a bigger chiddush that you would have been teaching us then the halacha that's said in our Mishnah, which is the case that you do speak about watching produce, that because I'm allowed to speak about it, then I'm allowed to wait for the boundary, be machshech al tchum for that. But then you would have taught us other halachas, which are said in the next Mishnah regarding a mess and a kala, regarding a corpse and a bride, that those things you're also permitted to speak about on Shabbos, as the Gemara later is going to explain. And therefore, you're allowed to be machshech al, you're allowed to wait by the boundary for nightfall. And therefore, the end of the Mishnah, which says that machshichen al tchum, that you can wait by the boundary, lefakeach al iske kal, to be involved in the necessities of the bride, obviously that is Abishol, because he's the one that's telling us this concept that whatever you're allowed to speak about, then you're allowed to wait for the boundary. And therefore, he was interpreting the halacha of Tanakhama, which it seems the Tanakhama is arguing on him. The Tanakhama does not say that principle. But Abishol was saying, this that you say in the Sefer, that you're allowed to wait by the boundary for the necessity of being watching the pairs, that's obviously related in some level to the idea that you're allowed to speak about it. So say a general principle, don't just pick that one case, which would have included Iske Kala, Iske Meis, and that's obviously coming from Abishol's principle, that is, because you're allowed to speak about the Tzarchi Kala and Tzarchi Meis and Shabbos, then you're also allowed to do this other mimtzechetz chavadabadaber concept about waiting by the boundary for nightfall to come. And this was the machlekes of Abba Shaul and the Tanakhama. This was what it was revolving around, that kol sha'ani zakeh b'mirasai, whatever I'm allowed to speak about, which again, it was this unstated halacha from Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, you're allowed to talk about watching prayers on Shabbos, then you're allowed to be machshech alav, then you're allowed to have what the halacha, the Tanakhama is saying in the Sefer about waiting by the boundary, to go ahead and watch your produce, to get out of the tchum finally after Shabbos, to watch it, which is permitted on Shabbos. You should have said, like in a general category, which could have included other halachas, such as tzarchi kala and tzarchi mes. Now, regarding this statement of Abba Shaul, he said in the terminology of, let's make a general rule, which we just spoke about, but the Gemara elaborates and says, klala suyimai. When he says a general rule, what's he coming to add more than what's already said in the Mishnah, the case of watching the produce, which is permitted to speak about, and therefore you could also wait by the boundary for nightfall. What else is included in there? So as we just said before, lasu yehud the Tanarban comes to include what we learned, that eimach shichen al tchum lehevi behema. You're not allowed to wait for nightfall by the boundary to bring your animal. If your animal was out of the boundary, the way to get her back is karila vihi ba. You could call it and it could come on its own, as long as you didn't actively bring it from out of the tchum. Klal Amar Abba Shaul. This is the general rule that Abba Shaul said. Kol shani zakeh b'mirasai. The same statement he says in the Mishnah, but is elaborated here in the Braisa. What was the general adding? Whatever I'm allowed to speak about on Shabbos, rishani l'hachshech alav. I'm allowed to wait at the boundary for nightfall for, and there's no problem of this mimtzei chavetz chavadabadaver. And what is this? That you could wait on the boundary to be involved in necessities for the needs of the bride, and for the needs of a dead person, which are for the mess is to bring him a coffin and to bring him the tachrichin, the shrouds. These are the things that are permitted to be done on Shabbos. So therefore, that was what he was adding by saying, whatever I'm permitted to speak about, as the Sefer continues in that braisa and says, that you could tell people what to do regarding the needs of a mess and a kala on Shabbos. And therefore, that was what was being included with the klal. The klal was including not only to watch produce that you could talk about and wait by the boundary, but even to include the tzarchi kala and tzarchi mes, like the braisa continues, that you're allowed to talk about it, and therefore you could wait by the boundary. As the braisa says, you could tell somebody, complain to go to that place. In other words, to go buy the needs for the kala or for the mes. You could tell this to a person on Shabbos to do after Shabbos. If you don't find it in that place, go bring it from a different place. If you can't buy it for 100, buy it for 200. However, he argues on this last point. He says, although you could speak about the tzarchi kal, tzarchi mes in Shabbos, as long as you don't tell this messenger that you're sending out what he should do during the weekday, you could tell this on Shabbos, as long as you don't mention the exact monetary value. You don't say 100 or 200, you don't mention the amount of the money. So again, this is Abba Shaul's opinion, what he was adding when he was talking about this klal, that he was adding on more than what the Tanakhama had permitted, was regarding tzarchi mitzah, that he was equating the amir, whatever you're allowed to talk about, with the concept of being machshech al tchum, which not necessarily does the Tanakhama subscribe to. Now we begin the next Mishnah, which again continues on the same topic regarding the needs that you're allowed to be machshech al tchum for, and one of them being the tzarchi mes, which we get more into this Mishnah and the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins, machshechen al tchum, you're allowed to wait at the boundary for nightfall, lefakech aliske kala va'aliske mes, to be involved and take care of the needs of a bride and for a dead person. And that is lehevi la'arim v'tachrichim, regarding the dead person, is to bring him a coffin and the burial shrouds. Now regarding the tzarchi mes, regarding a malacha being done for him on Shabbos, the Mishnah continues and says, Nachri shehevi chalil b'Shabbos. If a non-Jew brings flutes on Shabbos for the Jewish person that passed away, so then lo yisped behen Yisrael, a Jew cannot use it to eulogize the Jew that had passed away forever. He can never use it. And this is a knas, it's a penalty, because it's obvious that it was brought for the Jew, because flutes are never generally brought into the city only for a person that passed away. They used it in the burial process. And therefore, since it was brought for the Jew, that's a melacha that was done through a melacha va'akim, which is usher for Yisrael to have enough from. And in this case, where it's so obvious, it's going to be usher lo'olam. You can never use that even after the amount of time it would take to have been brought of b'chdei she'asa, which is generally mutter for a melacha that a goy did for Yisrael. Here, where it's obvious and it's in such a fahesi, it's going to be usher. Elim kain bo m'makim karav. However, the Mishnah says, unless if it came from a close place, which means it came from within the tchum of Shabbos, that means no malacha was actually done in the bringing of the chalil, then it's no iser because there was no malacha being done, then you can use it. The Mishnah continues, Asu loy arin v'chafer loy kever. If they made a coffin or they dug a grave, and that is the non-Jew did it for a non-Jew, or to go ahead and sell the coffin or to sell the burial plot, then you're covered by Yisrael. Then the Jew could be buried there because it wasn't being done for the Yisrael. The whole Isra of Malacha that a guy is doing on Shabbos to have a nofram is only if it was done for the Jew. However, the Mishnah Yisrael, if it was done for the Jew, lo you covered by Alamas, the Jew can never be buried there again, because here it's such a fahesia, it's something that's so obvious, blatantly, that it was done for the Jew, and he's going to be buried there in something that was done forbiddenly for the Jew, which you now have anah from Amir Lakim, when the Jew even does, a guy does it even on his own volition, but it's being done for a Jew, therefore the Jew can never be buried there. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the heter, the permission of the chalilim, of the flutes. When it was brought, we said that if it was brought mimakim kar from a closed place, then it's okay to use them. So the Gemara says, my mimakim kar, what does it mean from a closed place? That it was within the tchum, the boundary of Shabbos, that no malacha of coming out of the tchum was done for it. So we have a machlekes in the Gemara. Rav Amma mimakim kar of mamash, means literally from a closed place, which means to say that we know clearly, factually, that it was brought from a closed place. For example, if we saw that it was brought from his house, so therefore we know that it didn't come from out of the tchum, and the malacha was not violated in its being brought over here. V'Shmuel, however, Shmuel says no. Even chayshinan shemechutz l'chayim elanu, we suspect that maybe he had spent the night right out of the city walls, and that even if it was brought from out of the city, we didn't see him bringing it on Shabbos from his house. We see him bringing it from out of the city. We suspend our judgment and we say that possibly, maybe he spent the night on Friday night right outside the city walls, and therefore you could use it in part of the eulogy right after Matzah Shabbos, right away. And that is, although using the term of cheshinon that we suspect, which is generally something that we use l'chumra for stringencies, it can also be used l'kula, and therefore according to Shmuel, how you interpret the Mishnah is that a Jew cannot use it for the hesped, for the eulogy, unless if you could... there's a possibility to say that maybe it came from a closed place. And what it's coming to exclude is, if we know for a fact that it definitely came from out of the tchum, then you can't use it. But if there is a possibility, then chayshina, then we will suspect that maybe it was within the boundaries. And even then, not like Rab that said you have to know that it was brought from a makom karav, even if there's that possibility, that would permit us to use it after Shabbos, and it wouldn't be usher for the assault to use it for the hesped. So the Gemara says, "Deka masnin kavasei d'Shmuel," that our Mishnah is meduyik. It can be inferred to sound like that, like the opinion of Shmuel. The Gemara, as we learned in our Mishnah, it said, "Also like Aaron, if the non-Jew made a coffin of chavalei kevin, he dug a grave. So he said, you're covered by Yisrael, so a Jew could be buried there. And that is, we suspend our judgment. We say that there is a possibility that maybe it was made for a non-Jew. We don't know. Maybe it was made for the Jew. We don't know what his intention was. But since there is the possibility, although it's a suffix, then we say that the Jew could be buried there. Alma misvei kashori. Obviously, that when it's a case of doubt, then it's permitted. Sachinami misvei kashori. Here, regarding the machlekes of Rav and Shmuel, regarding the chalil, the flute, that it's also permitted when there is a doubt. And therefore, although we don't know for sure that it was brought from within the tchum, but since there is that possibility, then it's going to be mutter. However, the Gemara says, "V'tanya kavasei derab," that there's a brice that seems to indicate like Rab. Now, although there are different girsois over here, and the Vilna Gaon brings it down, and Rashi himself brings that there was a different interpretation of that, there's a brice that seems to say like Shmuel. However, we're going to interpret the Gemara as our girs is that it's a brice that supports the opinion of Rab. That the brice says, "Ir she Yisrael v'nochem darba," regarding a city that Jews and non-Jews live in that city. And there was a bathhouse that was being utilized on Shabbos. So now there's a situation over here where malacha is being done, that it's being heated. A malacha is being done to have it heated on Shabbos. So the question is, can it be used on Matzah Shabbos right away? Or do we say that it was being done for the Jews and then we have to wait what's called Bechdei She'as, the amount of time. Generally, when the guy does a malacha for Yisrael, you're not allowed to have enough from that. And not only that, you cannot have enough from it on Shabbos, you would have to wait on Matzah Shabbos, the amount of time that it would take to actively do that malacha. So let's say it takes 2 hours to really heat up the bathhouse. So you would have to wait after Shabbos 2 hours until it gets that amount of time that it would have taken on Matzah Shabbos, that you're not having enough, and the malacha was done for the Jew on Shabbos to heat it up. So however, here you have this situation where you're not sure if it's done for the Jew or the non-Jew, because in this city are both Jews and non-Jews. So the Brisa says as follows, if the majority of the inhabitants are non-Jews, right after Shabbos, right after the Zman, you can get in your car and you can drive over to the bathhouse and use it, because we say that it's being done for the majority of the people of the city. You always go after the Rav, and since the majority are non-Jews, it wasn't being done for the Jew. And therefore, there's no problem of having Hanof and Malacha that wasn't done for the Jew. in Reb Yisrael, if the majority of the inhabitants are Jews, then Yamtin ad kedei sheichamacham, then you do have to wait the amount of time that it generally take to heat up the hot water, and then it would take whatever that time is, an hour, 2 hours, you would have to wait, and only then can you go to the bathhouse. However, mechza mechza, regarding if it's 50-50, there's not a majority of Jews or non-Jews, then the Braisa says, ad kedei sheichamacham, and still, even in that case, you have to wait for the amount of time that the water would be heated up, which seems to indicate, like Rav, that since here it's a suffix, it's doubtful, we don't know if it was done by the Jew or the non-Jew, because we can't say that there's a majority that would tell us who was being done for. Still, even in that case, as Rav said, that when it's a suffix, it's going to be us. However, Rashi does ask that, but what we do see over here by the bathhouse is that after the amount of time that it would take for the water to be heated, then there would be mutter. But here by the chalil, by the flutes, we said you're not allowed to use it in the eulogy forever, even if you're going to wait to use it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it sounds like forever. Now, why over here don't you have to wait forever? It's enough even mechdei sheyaseh. And there Rashi says, because by the chalil, by the flutes, it's obvious that it was done for the Jew, because it's only brought for dead people, and there's only one dead person, a Jewish person, so therefore we know it was being done for the Jew. However, here by the bathhouse, it's not obvious that it was done for the Jew, because there are also non-Jews. Even when the majority of the inhabitants are Jews, there's still the possibility, although that we're going to say that you have to wait the amount of time because we would suspect that it was being done for the Jew. But since it's not obvious, because as long as there's one non-Jew, it could have been enough for him, then it's enough to wait for the amount of time that it would take, and then you could have enough from it, but you don't. It's not asur la'olam, whereas by the flute, since it's obvious, you would never be able to use it. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ba'amvati ketana. Rabbi Yehuda says that regarding a small bath, that there you could, that you would suspect to say that it could have been even warmed at nighttime, meaning after Shabbos, through the different servants that were there to service someone, and with many different hot water kettles. So then it would depend. In other words, if someone's coming Matzah Shabbos, and it's like 10 minutes after the Zman, after Shabbos is over, and now it's a piping hot bath. So now, if let's say there's a possibility of the majority of people being Jews, or even when it's doubtful, you have to wait the amount of time it takes to heat it up. But here, Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding a small bath, here you could even say that a small time after Shabbos, maybe it wasn't heated up on Shabbos, and therefore you wouldn't have to wait. Maybe it was heated up on Matzah Shabbos, after Shabbos. How would that be? Because im yesh bar rashus, if there's a governmental figure, I mean a respectable figure that's a non-Jew in the community, or even a Jew possibly, reichetz ba meyad, then you're allowed to bathe in it right away, because you could say that it was heated up after nightfall already for that non-Jew. And that is, as the Gemara is going to explain, my rashus. What does it mean, a governmental figure? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Bered Rabbi Yehuda, im yesh ba adam chashav, if there's a respectable person, in other words, sheyesh lo yasar avadim, he has 10 slaves, shemechamen lo yud kumkumin b'vasachas, they could be warming up for him 10 hot water kettles at one time. So then, b'amvati ketana, mutar lirchatz b'miyad, so then in the small bath, you're allowed to bathe in it, Matzah Shabbos, right away, because what happens is that it was really heated up on after Shabbos. So even though we have a principle over here that possibly was done for the Jew, and then you would have to wait the amount of time it takes to be heated up, but since there's also that possibility that maybe it wasn't even done at Shabbos, maybe it was only done on after Shabbos, so we're not even clear that it was a Maisa Shabbos, a forbidden activity done for the Jew on Shabbos, in that case, you don't have to wait anything at all, because it could be right after Shabbos, this non-Jew, who's a respectable guy, has so many people work with him, they went and heated it all up, and the small bath, it wouldn't take a long time if they're doing it all together, then you could go ahead and have enough from it right after Shabbos. It's a suffix of Maisa Shabbos, a suffix. If it's even something that was done forbidden for the Jew, that's not a problem to have enough. You don't have to wait b'chdei sheyas. So then the Mishnah said, that if the non-Jew made a coffin or dug a grave, then it's mutter for the Jew to utilize because it was not necessarily done for the Jew. And then the Gemara asks, am I? So correct. I understand it's not going to be asur elam. It's not going to be forbidden forever like the case of the Chalil, which is obviously was done for the one dead person that was there, and it was a Jewish person. But you should at least have to wait the amount of time that it takes to dig the grave or to make the coffin because, as we said, although it's not obvious that it was done for the Jew, to say that it's forbidden forever, but you could still say that maybe it was done for the Jew, like the case of the Merchatz by the bathhouse, where we say it's 50-50, so we're not sure. So because of the doubt, we say that you have to wait the amount of time it would take for it to be heated up. So here regarding the coffin and the grave, although it's not obvious, but you should still have to wait the amount of time it takes for that to be done, because there's the possibility that it was done for a Jew. So Amar Ula, Ula says, no, this case is obviously definitely not done for the Jew, because we're told by Bo'emid that the grave was standing basaratya on the highway. And that is, It's not the way for Jewish people to be buried there on the highways, and the non-Jews know that. So obviously it was not made for a Jewish person. And therefore, since it definitely wasn't made for the Jew, then you're allowed to go ahead and use that grave. But that, the Gemara asks, but Tenech Kever, I understand the case of the grave. But Arn Michael, what are you going to say about a coffin? To say that it's obvious that it wasn't made for the Jew, how can you say that? There is not in any location where it's obviously not for the Jew. So again, you should have to wait the amount of time it takes to make that coffin. And that the Gemara says, now here also it's obviously that it was made for the non-Jew, because Amar Bavo B'mutl, we're talking about where the casket, the coffin was placed, Al Kivroi, on that grave of the non-Jew, which means it was on a grave by the highway. Or again, there it's obviously that it was made for a grave that was made for that, it was a coffin made for that grave. And again, since that grave is by the highway, which is definitely not for a Jew, so that coffin which is placed over there, which obviously whoever's making it wants to sell it maybe together, the coffin with the grave. So again, it's obvious by both of them that it wasn't made for a Jew, and therefore you're allowed to go ahead and have enough of it right after Shabbos. You don't have to wait, b'chdei sheyaseh, as normally you would have to do when there's a suspicion, when there's suspecting, when there's a doubt that maybe it was done for a Jew or a non-Jew. Now we continue with the next mission, again, speaking about the topic about mesim, about the needs of a mess. So our mission begins. Oysin kol tzarcha mes, you're allowed to take care of all the needs of a dead person on Shabbos. Sochin umadichin oysin, you can anoint him with oil and you could wash him with water. However, ubavachlo yozes b'yevir, as long as you don't move one of his limbs, that is, you don't pick up his hand, you don't pick up his foot, you don't touch his eyelids, that you're not allowed to touch on Shabbos because he's muktze. You could take away the pillow from under him, and you could put him on the sand. And the reason why you would do that is bishvil, that is because, and we continue on to Amud Beis, shiyamtin, that he should be maintained, that is, he shouldn't decompose more because of the heat of the pillow and the blanket. So then you put him down on the sand, that he should maintain his body heat and not decompose more. Moreover, koishnes alecha, you could tie his jaw, the jaw of the corpse of the dead person, that the mouth continues to open more and more, so you tie the jaws that it shouldn't open anymore. However, the Mishnah qualifies and says, loishiyala, not that you should lift it up, in other words, to close what was already open, because that would be considered moving a limb. Elish loyisa, rather that it shouldn't open more, that's why you're tying it to maintain, but not to attain. Similarly, the Mishnah brings a similar type of a case. Similarly, when you have a beam that broke, you can support it with a bench because it has the status of a vessel on it. There's no problem about what you're doing to hold it up. Or with the side post of a bed. However, similar to the criteria that was said before, not to move the beam back up because that would be included in the Isra of Boina as if you're building the house. Rather that it shouldn't fall more. Similar to the jaw of the dead person, you can't move it back up, but rather you could tie it, you could hold it, you support it, to maintain it, not to let it fall anymore. Now the Gemara asks, regarding this permission that we start off on Mishnah to go ahead and anoint and to wash the dead person, the Gemara asks, V'amr Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Maisa b'tamidah Shemeir, there was an incident that happened with the student of Rameir, Shenichnas Archav le-Beis HaMerchas, that he followed him into the bathhouse. Bikish ladich karka, so for his Rebbe, he wanted to go ahead and to wash the ground for him before he went on there to bathe himself on Shabbos. So Amr lo emadich, and he says, no, we don't wash the floor. Losach karka, so he wanted to anoint the ground with some oil. Amr lo emadich, and says, we don't anoint the ground. And therefore, what the Gemara's question is, obviously something that's forbidden to be moved, which are the stones of the ground that have a status of mukta, so too you're not allowed to anoint it. And therefore, the same thing should apply to the mess, to the corpse, where the corpse is mukti, you can't touch him. Therefore, you're not allowed to anoint or wash him, similarly to the floor of the bathhouse. So why over here do we say you're allowed to go ahead and anoint and wash the dead person? So the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason why he didn't allow him to wash and to anoint the floor of the bathhouse, because that it is mukti, so you can't do these services for it either. Rather, it's for a totally different reason. Karka b'karka mechlefa. And that is, one ground can get mixed up with another ground. In other words, the reason wasn't because that it's usher to be moved, that it's muktza, so therefore you can't go ahead and do these things of washing it and anointing it. Rather, it's because of what's called ashvuya gumis. We're concerned with the floor, that you might come to smooth out the pits. You want to make a smooth floor. Once you're washing it and anointing it, you're going to see that there's lumps and bumps and there's holes in the ground. You're going to come to smooth it out. Now, although the bathhouse has a floor made out of stone, where there's no concern of smoothing out the pits, it's not made out of earth, However, that's what the Gemara means to say, that michlev karka bakarka, that you might come to exchange and mix up. They say, wait a second, I'm allowed to anoint a ground. I know I once did it in a bathhouse made out of stone. You might come to do it when this earth. And if you're going to do it by earth, you might very well come to smooth out the ground, which will be ayva malacha on Shabbos. Therefore, you're not allowed to do any ground because you might mix it up with the other ground that's made out of earth. And that's why he told his student, you can't do it, even here when the ritzbu, when the floor, is made out of evan, made out of stone. However, meis bekakuloi michlev, a dead person you're not going to mix up with ground, and that is, has nothing to do, if we think you could anoint a dead person and wash him, that would mean I could do that to a floor made out of earth, and then you might come to do ashvuyah gomas. And therefore, again, the issa wasn't because of that that the item is mukta. And therefore, that's why our Mishnah said you're allowed to wash and anoint the dead person, because there's no concern. The whole concern with the floor of the bathhouse is only because you might come to mix it up with a floor made out of earth, which then can possibly bring you to being mashva gumis, evening out the holes in the ground, which would be a problem of baino or chayrish. So now the Gemara says, kol lasui mai. When our Mishnah began, it said, kol tzor chames, all the needs of a dead person, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. What is that coming to include, which is not explicitly said in our Mishnah? Now the Gemara says, lasui hod tanabon. That's coming to include what it's taught in the Braisa. It says all these different things that you're allowed to do for a dead person. Mevin kli maker. You're allowed to bring cooling types of vessels. That is, they bring coldness to the corpse. For example, glass, which cools down the dead body. The klimatchis and a metal vessel. Now, why would you bring these things that we're saying you're allowed to do the tzarech hames on Shabbos? Because when manichin al kresi, they put it on his stomach, kadesh le tafuach, that it shouldn't blow up. Upaikin as nekaviv, and similarly, you're allowed to close his orifices, the holes of the dead person's body. Kadesh le tikonis ben ruach, that the ear, the wind, should not enter his orifices. So too, Shlomo says in his great wisdom in the pasuk in Kehelet that the stomach of the dead person blows up and then it pops open and breaks forth, and that's why they put these cooling items, that shouldn't happen. You're allowed to do those tzarech hames on Shabbos. That's what we're including in our Mishnah when it says kol tzarech hames. Where do we find that Shlomo says is in Kehelet? So Shlomo Melch speaks about when a person is dying. It says ad shelo yirasik chevel hakesef, that until the silver strap, the silver string doesn't snap. Now, what is that a reference to? What's the silver strap snapping? Zechut hashadra, that is the spinal cord, which is a type of a rope, and it's also white like silver. So it's a reference that he's talking about before a person dies, which is when the silver strap, the silver string, is going to tear. That's when the spinal cord snaps. The sarid's gulas hazav, and when the golden bowl is being shattered, that's a reference, ze'ama, that's a reference to the male member. And that is because the word gulas is, as we find in the pasuk in Yehoshua, perek tzvav, gulis mayim, is a reference to a fountain. And it's a reference to the male member, which is a fountain of toilada, of having children. So therefore, that's also going to be shattered when the person is dying. And then it comes to the part of the pasuk, which is a reference to what we were speaking about the stomach breaking open, and that's why we want to cool it, is we see shaver kad alamabua, and that the pitcher will break on the fountain. Zehakaris, that's a reference to the stomach, which is visi shaver, it breaks open, it pops open, and that's why we want to keep it cool, that it doesn't blow up. Then the pasuk continues, the noritz hagalgal elabur, and that the wheel will be smashed into the pit. Zeperish, that's a reference to the person's excrement. And that's where from the word hagalgal, the word wheel, is related to the word galal, which is a pasuk in Yechezkel, Perek Dalad, that is a reference to excrement. And therefore it says that the excrement will be smashed into the pit. What does it mean, el habar? That means it will fall into his mouth, which is a pit into which the person takes all the food into. That means his galal, his excrement, will fly into his mouth. Where do we find such a concept? So too it says in the pasuk in Malachi that says this idea that his excrement that's in his system will go ahead and break forth into his mouth, which is the pit. As it says, Vizerisi Ferish Afanechem, that I will scatter excrement on your face, Ferish Chagichem, the excrement of your holidays. And that is that excrement will blow up onto your face. That's the idea of what we said, that Benoritz Hagalgal Alabar, that will the galal will come into the person's mouth. Now another interpretation on this last pasuk of Malachi, Amrav Hunav Amrila Amrav Chaga, Elu b'nei adam shemanichin dibritar. These are people that leave the words of Torah, and that is the word v'zerisi feresh. Feresh from the word of poirish, of separating oneself from the words of Torah. V'oisin kol yimeim kechagim. They make all their days like chagim, like holidays, and that is they're involved in tanugim and physical pleasures. Those are the types of people of v'zerisi feresh al fenechem, that they're going to have this excrement scattered on their face. That's the idea of that they're pirish from Torah, and that is they celebrate, they make every day like a holiday, that they're busy indulging in pleasures in the world and not being involved in the words of Torah. So the Gemara concludes regarding this idea that we said about the stomach blowing up and breaking forth and have everything, all the food falling on the person's face. And that's why, again, we could do the Star Chemesa by cooling down his stomach. Amr Levi, Amr Pabi, Amr Bishua. La'achash le'shiyam, after 3 days after the person has died, kreisin nifkes, his stomach breaks open, v'nefelis la'ponav, and it falls on his face, v'ymerisle, and so to speak, like the stomach is speaking to the person saying, tul mashin asadabi, take what you have given me. In other words, his excrement falls on his face, the same idea that we said in that pasuk, of ferish al-fenechem, that is because he's saying, you know, you put it in through your mouth, here, take it back, there's no more need for it. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, again speaking about the idea of a corpse on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, "Ein ma'atzmin es ames." A person is not allowed to go ahead and close the eyes of the dead person b'Shabbos on Shabbos, and that is even after the person has died, as we said in the previous Mishnah, because you're not allowed to move, you're not allowed to be mazes as a Avi, you're not allowed to move any one of the limbs of a dead person on Shabbos because he's muktzah, and therefore you're not allowed to close his eyes. V'loy b'chayil imitzias ha'nefesh. And even during the weekday, you're not allowed to close his eyes if it's at the time of when he's passing away. And moreover, the Mishnah tells us, "Vamatzim imitzias ha'nefesh." If someone closes the person's eyes when you see he's about to pass away, harezer shevichdam, he's considered a murderer. As the Gemara explains from a brisa that with any little slight touch, you bring the person's death closer. He's at death's door. Just touching him can induce death, and therefore you consider a murderer because you killed him a second earlier, and he didn't live that life that he could have been living. So at least quantitatively, you're considered a murderer. So the Gemara brings a brisa to elaborate on what we just said. Tanabon, ha'ma'atzmoi imitzis ha'nefesh. If someone closes the eyes of the person as he's passing away, he's a murderer. Moshe l'ner shekava v'aleches, that could be compared to a candle that's going out. You see, it's almost there. Odom manich etzpoyaleh, if a person puts his finger on it, just touches it, miyad kav, so right away it's extinguished. Whereas sometimes you have a candle that's really burning bright, you keep on touching it, trying to put it out, it doesn't go out so fast. If it's on the verge of going out and you just touch it, it goes out. That's similar to a person's neshama, kiner l'kim nishmas odom, that if you just touch it at the time when he's dying, that's going to put him out right away and you consider a murderer. Tanya, we learn the brisa related to this. If someone wants that the dead person's eyes should close, but he doesn't want to do it by himself, the way to cause it is he blows wine into the person's nostril. He puts oil between the eyelids. He holds on to the two big toes of the person that's dying's foot. And they close by themselves. That if the person's dead and he doesn't want to close it, this is how he can cause it to close by itself. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa that similarly, that's interesting in contrast what we're talking about a dead person, how that you're not allowed to touch him on Shabbos because he's muktzah, in contrast to even a child, that you're allowed to do any type of chilas Shabbos to save the child's life. As the Gemara brings interesting, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tinik ben Yoimai Chai, a child that's even a day old, but he's alive, Mechal Lavas Shabbos, you could desecrate Shabbos, do whatever it needs for that child. But you have David Melch Yisrael Mes, if you have David, the king of the Jewish people, the greatest of the great, that's dead, in Mechal Lavas Shabbos. You can't desecrate Shabbos, even the most minute Isser. As the Gemara says, Tinik Ben Yemichai Mechal Lavas Shabbos, regarding a child that's even a day old, you could desecrate Shabbos because Amr Torah, the Torah says, Chal alalav Shabbos Echad. Desecrate for that child one Shabbos, which is this one, Kedei Sheishma Shabbos Harbi, that he could keep many Shabboses. So there's a lot of potential here that's going to be wasted, and therefore you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for him to keep many Shabboses. But David Melech is a mess in Mechal alalav, but David, the greatest of the great, that he's the king of the Jewish people, that he passed away, you're not allowed to do any desecration of Shabbos on him. Because Kivin Shemes Adam, once a person dies, batal mina mitzvahs, he's exempt, he has nothing to do with the mitzvahs. Behind Amr B'Yechon, this is what B'Yechon says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, by the dead there's freedom. What does that mean? Kivin Shemes Adam, once a person dies, Nasa Chavshi mina mitzvahs, he becomes free, that's where the term a friar, he becomes free from the mitzvahs, from the commandments, he has nothing to do with them, so therefore we're not going to chal Shabbos for him because there's no point for that, in other words, for him to keep many more Shabboses. So that's interestingly, although we have the greatest, once he's dead, we're not Mechal, but here you have someone that didn't accomplish anything, he was just born, you will be Mechal Shabbos. So, related to this, the Gemara brings, a child that's even one day old but alive, You do not have to protect that child from the weasel and the mice. And they're not going to harm the child. But if you have Oig, the king of Bashan, who is a giant, he was a monstrosity, if he's dead, then you do have to protect him from the weasel and the mice. Like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, that your fear and your dread will be, as the pasuk over there says, Al kol chayis ha'aretz, and all the wild animals of the earth, Al kol ha'oif ha'shamayim, and all the birds of the heavens, b'chol ha'shatir mes ha'adam, whatever crawls on the earth, u'b'chol dige ha'yam, and on all the fish of the sea, b'yetchem nitanu, in your hand it was placed. And that is, your fear is upon all the animals. However, that is, as the Gemara says, kol zman sha'adam chay, as long as he's alive. Then emasim tells Sabris, then his awe and his fear is on all the creatures. Kivin Shemes, once he dies, Botlei Masay, then his fear is not there anymore. And even if he's Ugmel Chabashan, he's this monstrosity, this awesome creature, he's dead, the animals will attack him. A day-old child that's alive, his fear will be imposed on the animals and they will not attack him. As the Gemara says similarly, Amra Papa, Nektina, we have a tradition. Arya Beitre, Leinafel, a lion does not attack two people. And that's because to attack and to kill the person, as it says in the Pasuk, Umayra'achem, it says in plural, which the plural is two, that your fear in the plural, then it says, will be Al Kol Chayis Ha'aretz, on all the wild animals of the earth, that includes even the lion. So your fear of two people will protect you from any animal out there. To which the Gemara asks, is that really true? We do see that a lion attacks even more than one person at a time. So how can you say that this concept is true? And then the Gemara says, no, what we said is true. When there's at least two people, the fear instilled on all the animals, they will not attack to kill the person, the two people. However, when we find that the lion or whatever animal attacks even more than one person at a time, how could the Rami Bar Abba? That's like Rami Bar Abba said that it's this person already had a death sentence. Hashem wants him dead. And therefore the person is compared to in the eyes of the lion like an animal. And an animal he's not afraid of. As the Gemara says, the Amar Rami Bar Abba, Ein chay shaletes ba'adam, a wild animal has no dominion, cannot rule over a person to kill him, at shenid malek behema, until in the eyes of the lion or the wild animal, he looks like it's an animal. It doesn't see him as a human being, as a person that has this moira achim. He's like a behemoth, and in truth, he conducts himself like a behemoth. Shnem, like it says, a passing in Tehillim. Adam, regarding man, bikar bal yon. He will not lay down in glory and honor. Nimshal, he will be ruled. And the idea is that any person that a wild animal rules over him, then you should know, kebehemis nidmu, that's because he's compared to an animal, to a domesticated animal. That's why the wild animal has no fear about the killing him, attacking him, just like he'll go after 10 cows or 10 deer, whatever it is. He's not afraid of them. Here also, the reason why the animal will attack is because although live people should have the merachim, is because you're not a adam anymore, you're a behema, and that's why he has no fear of you. Similarly, the Gemara brings, related to what we said, that there's powers in two people. That's Moira Achem. Amar Chanina, Asa Lishan Bebayis Yechidi. It's forbidden to sleep in a house alone without any other one, without anyone else there. Chalayoshin Bebayis Yechidi. And whoever sleeps alone in his house, Achzasi Lilis, who's the mother of all the Shadim, of all the demons, will grab a hold of him. Now the Gemara continues with what we spoke about before, the Bemesim Chavshi, that by the dead there's freedom. V'tanya will learn the Braise. Pshim Laza Omer, I say you should do tzedakah, you should do charity, Acha Atamaitzi, when you find someone to do it for. U'matzalacha, and that you still have money to utilize. V'oit chabiyotcha, and you're still in your hand, and that is you're still in your own rishos, that means before you die. In other words, when you have the opportunity, take it, because this is a golden opportunity that you can go ahead and do the mitzvah, and you can give charity, that you actually have money, before you pass away or you lose your money. V'av Shleim Amen B'chachmasi, similarly Shleim said with his wisdom in the Pasuk Kehelis, Uzchor Esbarecha, remember your Creator B'mei Bachresach in the days of your youth. Ad asher lo yivo yimeiro, until the bad days don't come. What are the bad days? El yimei hazikna, these are the days of when you become old, when you're not going to be able to do it, you're not going to have your youthful energy to do it, and therefore grab a hold of it and do it when you still have the opportunity. And the pasuk continues, v'giyu shanim asher toimer ein li bem chevetz, and until the years come where you're going to say, I have no desire for. What are those years? El yimei hamashiach, these are the days of when Mashiach comes. Now why is that? She'ein behem lo yischus, because there's no merit anymore. You can't get any more mitzvahs to be zeicha with them, because everyone is wealthy. You won't be able to give tzedakah to anyone. V'lei chayva, and there's no more liability either, that as if you're stingy or stubborn and not giving, to hold back, because there's no one to give to anyway. So therefore, there's no more greatness of bechira, of free will and choice, because there's no mitzvahs to be done, and therefore there's not going to be desire for those days. So do it now when you're in Olam Hazeh, and you have this struggle, this difficulty. Go ahead and do it now, because this is the opportunity. Later you're not going to have it when you get older or when your Mashiach comes. However, the Gemara does say that this statement, Pliga de Shmuel argues on Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says, Ein ben Olam Hazeh l'Mayisa Mashiach. There is no difference between the current time and the time of Mashiach, to say that when Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any more poor people to give tzedakah to. Elishibin Malchis Bebarat, he says, the only difference is about being under the dominion of other kingdoms. When Mashiach comes, we'll have our own kingdom. It won't be controlled by the other nations. But everything, all the old problems and issues and tzedakah and poor people will still be around. Shnema, like it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, because when Mashiach will come, the poor people will not desist from within the land. And therefore, Shmuel holds that you would still be able to do it. That's not considered Yomim She'im Bem Chefetz when Mashiach comes. Now, regarding the topic that we said, to do tzedakah when you still have money, so the Gemara elaborates on this. Tanya, we learned the Brayser, but let's kapar Omer, La'olam yavakash od merachim amidizu. A person should always request mercy regarding this measurement, that he should not come to poverty, because it's something that's very easily to come, either to him, or to his son, or to his grandson, but it's going to come, so you should always be davening about that, that you should maintain the wealth that you have. As the Gemara says, Sh'im hu lo'i ba, because if he doesn't come to poverty, ba b'noi, his son comes to it, v'im b'noi lo'i b'noi, and if it doesn't come to his son, then ben b'noi ba, it will come to his grandchild. And therefore, as we said before, take a hold of the opportunity to give tzedakah now. You don't know if you're going to hold on to this money that much longer. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim, ki b'glal ha'davah hazeh, that because of this thing, as the pasuk over there says in the entirety, that nasan titulai, give tzedakah to that person, and it should not bother you when you're giving him the money, your hard-earned money, as the pasuk says, ki b'glal ha'davah hazeh, that because of this thing that you're giving charity, yivarechcha Hashem lekecha v'chom asecha, Hashem will bless you with all your things, v'chom eshlachidecha, and all the things that you reach out for. And therefore, the interpretation of this pasuk is that tana de beri b'shmol galgal hu shechayz ba'olam. It says the word b'glal is related to the word of galgal, that it's a circle. It's a wheel that keeps on turning. That is what one has, one loses, the other one gets. And therefore, it's a cycle. And therefore, give it now, because if you don't get poor, your son will or your grandson, it's inevitable, because no one holds on to it forever. As the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Naktinan. However, we do have a tradition that Haitzuvim Rabbanu Loi Me'ani. Although we said that everyone's going to get poorer, then wealthy, then poor, but a Talmid Chacham does not become poor. To which the Gemara asks, what do you mean? We know many Talmid Chacham, very many Talmid Chacham that are poor. So he says, yeah, even if you find that they get poor, they don't go from door to door, they don't suffer the indignities of what poverty is. And therefore, that's what we meant to say, that they don't become poor. Obviously, they don't have necessarily money. The Gemara continues with a story related to what we were discussing. Amala Reb Chiya the baser. Reb Chiya said to his wife, Ki asa anyu, when a poor person comes to the door, agdim l'rif, to be quick to give him bread to eat. Ki heichad l'kam l'vanecha, so that they should be quick to give when your son comes collecting by the door. So Amalai, she said to him, Meilat kalayla, what are you, cursing our sons? You're going to say that they're going to become poor? So Amalai said to her, I'm sorry, dear, but it's inevitable. Kroko kesev, it's a pasuk that says, ki beglal hadav azeb, because of this thing about the wealthy giving the poor, v'tan Rebbe Shmuel, and we learned in the Brayso of Rebbe Shmuel, galgal hu shechayz ba'olam, the word gal is the word galgal, that it's a circle, and if we have it now, we're not going to have it later. Tanya, we learned in the Brayso related to this. He says there's a pasuk in Devarim that says v'nasan l'cha rachamim, that they will give you mercy, v'richamcha, and they will have mercy, v'herbecha, and they will increase by you. So it says two times the word rachamim. What does that mean? So the interpretation is kol ha'marachem al habris, whoever has mercy on the creatures, on the people, that's what it says first, v'nasan l'cha rachamim, they will give you mercy, that you will be merachem on the bris, that's v'richamcha, then merachem olav min ha'shamayim, then they will have mercy on you. So it's two mercies. If you have mercy on others, then they will have mercy on you from shamayim, from heaven. Whoever does not have mercy on the people, they will not have mercy on him from heaven. Now the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Keheles that continues what we had spoken about previous on this Amid regarding the end of a person's life when he gets older. So the pasuk says, "Ada shaloi techshach hashemesh va'ar," until the sun and the light does not get diminished. Zu padachas, that's a reference to the forehead of the person, and that's because the forehead is the part of the person that's smooth and it shines the most from a person's face. In other words, go chap around from this world before you get old, and then that the forehead is not as shiny as it used to be. It starts getting wrinkly. V'achotim, and the nose is because that's the toyar. That's the light of a person. It gives a person his features. The most distinctive feature is his nose. Do it when you still have it before the lights start dimming out. V'hayireach, the pasuk says, and the moon. Zu neshama, that's a reference to the soul of a person. Again, before that's extinguished. And that's, as the pasuk says, ner likim nishmas adam, that the candle of God is the soul of the person. That's the reference of the moon. V'kechovim, and the stars. Eilal asasa, that's a reference to the person's cheeks, which again also wrinkle and start creasing when he gets older. That's like stars because it's amongst all the other features that are more prominent on the person's face. Then pasuk says v'shabuhu avim achar geshem, that the clouds will come back after the rain. That's a reference zuma or einav shel adam. That's a reference to the eyesight of the person shahoylech achar bechi, which go away and they're removed. The person loses his eyesight after crying, and that's the clouds that are returned. That's the person cannot see like a cataract. It's that his vision starts getting lost after that he cries so much. That's the geshem. That's in his elder years, because of the weakness of his energy and all the difficulties that came to him. These are the things that happen, that he loses his eyesight when he gets older. Similarly, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Haide Masa, this tear, Ad Arbon Shnin, until 40 years of age, Hadra, the tears, the wellsprings are rejuvenated, are replenished. Mikam Ve'elech, after 40 years, Lahadra, the tears don't come back. You can't cry anymore. You used up the wellspring. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Hai Kuchla, regarding this thing that's put into the eyes to help the eyesight, this type of a salve, this ointment, Ad Arbon Shnin Meravach, until 40 years, it improves a person's eyesight, makes it even better. Mikam Ve'elech, from 40 years and on, you're really going downhill. I feel a Malyika Avisna de Girdoi, even if you fill up in your eye a weaver's beam full and put it in the eye, Akumi Mokim, the most is going to do is maintain the eyesight. Avuchale Meravach is not going to make it any better, you're just trying to hold on to what you have. So, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, "My Kamashma, what are we coming to teach? That even if you fill up like a weaver's beam that much, what are we saying when using that reference? Is telling us the Kamada Olam, that the thicker this thing that's used, this piece of wood which you put into the tube to put into your eye, Mikuchla, of this thing, Tfeim Ali, the better it is. So the thicker it is, we're saying that even if you use such a good thing that's dabbered to put on one's eye and it's so thick, still it's not going to help. It's just maybe going to maintain, but it's not going to make the eyesight any better. So a story related to this, that the person's eyesight gets worse in old age. With all the crying, the Gemara says, Reb Chanina shechiva le'barte. Reb Chanina's daughter passed away. Lahava kabochi, Allah, he didn't cry about after her. So Amale de Besu, so his wife told him, Tanagota afikas mebesu, what, you just let a chicken out of the house? That's old? You're not crying over her? So Amale, he said to his wife, Tarti, I should suffer from two things, tichla ve'vira, I should lose my children and suffer from the blindness that comes with tears? As the Gemara says, Savala kihadam Rabbi Yechon, Meshur Mabiyisim, and Kitzarta, that is Shesh Demois, and there are six types of tears. Shalish Yafis, Beshalish Rois. Three are good, and three are bad. That the Shal Ashen, the tearing that comes from smoke, the Shal Bechin, of crying through, of mourning, and of all the difficulties that come to a person, and we continue the top of Kofnun Bezim and Aleph, the Shal Bezikisin, of the lavatory, that the pain of the intestinal problems through Yisurin, those are Rois, those are bad. And that's why he didn't want to cry over mourning, because those are the bad tears. Shalsam, regarding the tears that come from medicine, v'shalschuk, of laughter, v'shalperis, and of produce, for example, the smell of mustard, which makes a person tear, yafish, those are good. And again, so there are some that are good, some are bad. He didn't want to cry over mourning, because those would be bad for his eyesight, and not only would he lose his child, he would even lose his eyesight.